Freedom Story, brought to you by Refuge Ministries Canada. For the next half hour, your hearts will be filled with hope as you hear real-life stories from individuals that have been changed by the power of God. Enjoy the show.
Welcome to Refuge Freedom Stories. I'm your host, Johnny T, and today my guest is Sean Paul. Sean has a unique perspective of following the Lord's direction in his life that has led him through the construction industry, real estate, and most recently, a full-time missionary in Guatemala for over 10 years. Sean, welcome to the show. It's an honor for me to have you here. And first and foremost, let me thank you for your service.
Hey, thank you so much, Johnny. It's awesome to be here.
It's awesome to have you here. So as I read through your website, and we'll talk about that a little bit later, and your bio and so on, it definitely sounds like God has given you a unique path in life. But before we get to that, let's start with your journey of faith. Were you raised in a Christian home, or did that come later in your life?
No, I was raised, I kind of jokingly say my parents were Heinz 57 Christians. They profess Christ, but you know, as far as attending church on a regular basis, that was not the case. I gave my life to Christ when I was 14 years old. Started going to church with a kid in school. We lived out in a rural community, and their church was in a larger community in Iowa. And I gave my life to Christ. And that in itself is a saving grace that I had that experience, because I backslid. And then when I was 22 years old, I recommitted my life to Christ. I remembered the joy, the peace that I had, and I wanted that back in my life.
The Bible tells us all about the good seed falling into like rocky ground and things like that. And there's a whole bunch of different scenarios, right? Yeah, God's grace is amazing, how he continues to remember our commitment to him and then draws us back in ways that we're going to understand and can recognize. So As you branched out into your new faith in God, how did you develop that understanding of how to be led by him? How did that work out in your life?
Well, you know, when I gave my life to Christ, recommitted my life to Christ, I had the pleasure of just spending time with a gentleman by the name of Pastor Jimmy Squires. That's where I committed my life to Christ. 3 months later, we were scheduled to leave the military and go back to Iowa. But those 3 months I was processing out. So as long as I attended formation, you know, I could go do whatever I wanted. So I just basically spent time with him. And I mean, literally, I just tell people he etched my soul. I saw a man that lived God. He lived what he professed. It made a dramatic impact on me. So when I went to Iowa, I was prepared to follow God, chase God. And we got into a good church there. But what really started defining that moment in my life to where I started following the plan and purpose of God in my life was when he called me in 1993 to start a construction company. And I've never had a business in my life. So it's kind of like requiring me to devote my attention to the Lord and to stand upon his promises. And during that time, I dealt with anxiety, worry, all the things that go along with a business, a natural business, not a supernatural business, but a natural worldly business. So I had to learn quickly to stand on God's word, to listen to his voice, to follow his voice, to follow his plan and purpose. And that is the beginnings of me learning to hear and follow the Holy Spirit.
So when you were dealing with those natural emotional things like anxiety and worry and potentially fear and obviously pressure and things like that, was it the word of God that really kind of grounded you into recognizing God's plan for your life? Or was it also added by the relationship with Holy Spirit, like reflecting on those things as you read them?
Yeah, really, honestly, it's twofold. I mean, you just really laid it right out, because dealing with the anxiety and the worry, and like you said, the fear, I had to do something. I just had to do something. And while I was at church, our bookstore got these books in called God's Promises. So literally, I can remember sitting in my construction truck while my crew's working and so forth, and literally standing on those scriptures, like writing scriptures on note cards and reading them and confessing those promises to us as believers in Christ. I confess those promises to myself and standing on those in belief. Because obviously, the little daily details of our life is not like in the Word. So that's where we have to go in prayer to hear and to be led by the Spirit of God. And I can add to that where even good books by men and women of God also changed my life as well, like Battlefield of the Mind by Joyce Meyer. I mean, I had to deal with anxiety. I had to deal with worry and fear. So through these type of books that I read, I learned how to deal with it. And then reading a book by Kenneth Hagin, and I don't know the exact title, but like How to Be Led by the Holy Spirit. I cut my teeth on that book. Like literally, I learned how to follow the peace of God in my life. First and foremost, foremost, follow the joy, because obviously joy is a fruit of the Holy Spirit. So when peace and joy is operating in your life, and the Bible clearly says, allow peace to guide you, to direct your path. So see, that's what he teaches is 95% of the time you're going to be led by peace and joy. Then it is the still small voice of the Holy Spirit. So again, you know, in those early stages of my life, I've just grabbed hold of these truths and then I've just allowed them to kind of like, I don't want to say practice, but it is kind of like a really good word to use, because you're going to still fall down and skin your knee, but you're still going to make mistakes. Like, that was the Lord. No, it wasn't. And so you're going to learn to discern, yeah, this is the Lord, or no, this isn't the Lord. And I can sit here and say 33 years later, I'm still sometimes, God, is that you? Is that really you saying this? Are you leading me and guiding me in this direction? So still, 56 years old, I'm still trying to discern the Spirit of God at times.
Yeah, it's a lifelong thing. In the training world, they call us lifelong learners. Yeah. And that's definitely how our Christian walk is. And when you were talking about that joy and that peace and just that sense that this is the right thing to do, it made me think of people that don't know the Lord and they talk about a gut instinct, or they get that thing in their gut telling them, maybe you shouldn't do this, or yeah, this is a good thing. And even in that case, I believe the Lord is helping them develop. Like someone's listening to the show today and you're saying, well, every now and then I kind of get that thing. Well, you know what? God could be drawing you to him and already beginning that process of learning how to hear his voice.
Yeah, I wanted to look up that scripture real quick because I think it's important. Colossians 3:15, it just says, and let the peace that comes from Christ rule in your hearts. For we are members of one body. You're called to live in peace. So yeah, just to me, it's just something that I call peace, like my green light. And then that unsettling feeling like, what's going on? Ooh, this isn't right. That's your stoplight. And then you could have the no peace or the no unsettling. That's like your yellow light. It's like proceed with caution. So I just learned to follow that. And again, I'm not saying I'm a professional. I'm not saying that I'm perfect in this. But again, it's really done me well in my Christian walk.
Yeah, just kind of made me chuckle. What do you do for a living? Oh, professional peace guy. Thank you very much.
Well, it was years ago when we started practicing in that sense. And my wife and I were in Lowe's and we needed to buy a washer and dryer for our house. And we were standing by a set of washer and dryers. Do you feel peace? I don't know. Do you feel peace? I don't know. I mean, it's kind of like the chipmunks. If you know, no after you, no after you, you know,
yeah.
It was kind of comical. But now today, I think my wife and I mean, we will enter into a prayer and just say, do you really discern peace in this situation? I mean, that's really first and foremost how we deal with situations, is that we look at the peace.
Yeah, that's a really good insight too for people that are married, that they can reach out to their spouse as another believer, right? And just say, well, what do you think about this? And let's pray about it together, because when two or three are gathered in his name, he's in our midst.
Yeah, absolutely. I share with people all the time, you are absolutely crazy if you are married to a believer, if you discount your spouse's prayers and them discerning God's direction. I mean, I share this all the time. For Mission Field, yeah, I mean, we pray together, but I'm not going to sit here and say that we did it all the time. And especially I was in the real estate business and I would buy and sell houses. I just call her up and say, oh, we're going to buy another house, as far as like flipping and stuff like that. And she was just kind of like, hey, that's your lane, run that lane, you know? So it was never really kind of like, hey, let's pray about it. And again, I know that sounds horrible, but once I got to the Mission Field, and you're in a culture, like culture shock, you're in a world that you've never been in. I've never been a missionary in my life, never been a full-time minister. So it's kind of like, hey, I got to lean in on her a lot more so, in the sense of, what do you feel like God is leading, guiding, and saying about the situation? And I can tell you, there's been some serious jaw-dropping moments, like, whoa, that was some insight. And so it's like, now I'm not ashamed to admit it. She's got some serious wisdom and insight from the Lord that I really, really kind of like just take her advice on a constant, consistent basis, because it's that good. So I'm just saying, spouses, you've got to learn to honor your spouses. I mean, to me, it's just a life that I live now on a constant, consistent basis.
Well, God knows, right, when he brings people together, that we may not be exact fits. But definitely, sure, God brings people together to kind of complete that piece of that puzzle and work as a team, right? Work as one, really.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Agreement.
When you were talking about seeking God, it made me think about Jacob wrestling with the angel. Mm-hmm. And it reminded me of the scripture that says the kingdom of heaven suffers violence and the violent take it by force. Mm-hmm. And I think it's really important, and I'm speaking to myself as much as anybody, that when there's unsurety, we really need to seek God until we get that resolution in our spirit. In your case, yes. You say it's the peace of God. It may be something else for someone else because we're all unique. Right. But I think we really need to press in until we get that assurance, as you said, that we're moving in the right direction, because failure is just around the corner in case we don't.
Yeah. Yeah. There's no doubt. I can't tell you how many times I'm sitting on the couch watching TV or something like that, and something's wrestling in my heart. And I don't care. I'm shutting this thing off. I'm going up to my office. I mean, I just, like you said, you got to pray it through. You got to learn to pray it through. And like Kenneth Hagin teaches, and again, I'm kind of going back to the peace, you know, you can have that restlessness in your spirit, and you just got to pray it through. Now, you may not know why you have peace. The Bible speaks of the groanings. We'll have that groanings in our spirit. We could be interceding for a situation across the globe. We may never know why we're praying through, or we may know why we're praying. We may be praying about a particular situation in our family or whatever. I mean, my two daughters, I'm a father. I love my kids. Sometimes they'll be on my heart. I don't know what's going on, but I'll go and pray. And I'll spend time praying in the spirit, praying in an unknown tongue, and just in faith, believing that the Holy Spirit is praying it through, in the sense of praying that situation through, but praying through me. And then all of a sudden I get a release in my spirit. I'm like, okay, it's good. That's what I've been taught to do. So that's kind of what I do. And like I said, it does me very well in that sense.
Absolutely. And as you build on each one of those, if you want to call it a victory, or each one of those situations where sometime down the road, if it's somebody you know or somebody in your family, whatever, and you see that answer to prayer, it builds your faith. So mm-hmm. when the next big boulder comes along, or the next mountain comes along, or the next sea you have to cross comes along, God's faithful to give us that little bit of success to build on mm-hmm. and move forward with. So can you give me an example of that in your mission field work, where you've seen something that you really felt a burden to pray for, and then sometime down the road, you either saw that answer to prayer, or you saw another situation that kind of developed out of that answer? It may not have been directly to it, but something else opened up because of it?
I mean, I would say that, you know, missionaries, I mean, we do live on support. So, you know, I would probably say that more so in how I see God moving in people's lives and through prayer, and the burden of prayer would be just seeing support come from wherever. You're just like, how in the world do they even find me? You know, these people don't even know me. You know, those situations occur. And I made a decision this year to pull back on mission teams, because that is a form of way that our ministry gets supported, is because we will charge above and beyond, you know, as far as the cost of the team. So that would add to our budget, so to speak, and pay the bills ongoing. And I felt a burden in my spirit that I need to really pull back on teams this year and allow your wife to do more of the children's ministry work that's in her heart. So it was a step faith. So we had a big hole, so to speak, in her budget to fill. And again, it's not necessarily a burden, but it was just more of a, I need to keep this before me in prayer. And again, it's not about begging God. I don't believe in begging God. I believe that his promises are true in my life and in operation, but still we need to release that in faith and in prayer. So I would pray that from the north, south, east, and west, God's going to deal with people's hearts to give. But at the same time, God, I pray you deal with my heart in areas that I need to be giving as well. I can't be praying for people to give to me, but I'm not believing in faith that I should be giving as well. And God ramped it up. He said, okay, here's two people, one in Kenya and one in India that you met. I want you to ramp up your giving to them. So, you know, there's that sowing and reaping process. Mm-hmm. So I just seen the burden to pray for finances, and then I see finances come forth. And just like today, I, you know, looked at my email, and normally those that, you know, give to PayPal on a regular basis, it says your payment's been received, but it said you received a donation. I'm like, oh, that's interesting. Clicked it open, and it was a $2,500 donation. So it's like, praise God. I mean, you know, prayers are being answered. You know, God is moving on people's hearts to give. Yeah. And that, how do I say, you know, the hole, so to speak, is, I think today has officially been filled, in the sense of meaning that $2,500 has met the whole entire year's budget, as far as where we said that we're not going to have teams. So that hole's been actually filled. So basically it takes us up to December. So that's pretty awesome.
Yeah, and God is pretty accurate with what he provides. He didn't give you $5,000. I'm going to touch these people over here to give them $2,500 because that's all he needs right now.
Yeah, yeah. And I mean, like in February, we went to the States, and my prayer was that we would raise $5,000, not only to pay for the trip, but also to help fill the hole. And what was really cool was the first two churches, we received $6,200. I was like, wow, praise God. That was awesome. And then we went to a church that gives to us all year and plus gives us a nice big Christmas bonus. And the other times we've been there, they've never given us kind of like an offering. And she just handed me a check. I'm like, whoa, wait a minute. This is nice. So I kind of went off in a private area and took a peek at the check. And I'm like, this literally pays for our whole trip. So the $6,200 goes to the total entire budget as far as to meet our needs this year, as far as ministerial needs. It's not for us, but it's for ministry as well. So no, it's just, it's awesome. And again, that's just as a result of prayer, meaning before we went on our trip, my wife and I prayed together that he would meet our financial needs on this trip. And he went above and beyond, like showed off, said, see, I can do it. I can raise the money for you. Don't worry about it. So
that's amazing, as always with God, how he hears and answers prayer. Made me think of that scripture where he says that he has our prayers in a jar in heaven, like tears. Mm-hmm. There's prayers for provision, but there's also prayers for healing and for deliverance and all kinds of things. So do you see on the mission field, do you see that need very much? And I know stepping into a foreign country, there's a lot of traditional type beliefs and in different places around the world and different spiritualities and so on. So have you seen a lot of need for the spiritual side of things there that you've had to engage in prayer battle for?
I mean, not as per se myself, because it's important I explain this. I'm kind of removed from the mission field in the sense of, one, I'm in Latin America. I don't speak Spanish. I speak Taco Bell Spanish. I've been here for 10 years. So we've always worked through nationals, people of the country. So like in Honduras, we worked through Pastor Fabio. We worked through Manos de Jesus, various ministers there. And then here we worked through Anibal and Elizabeth. They are English speaking. So everybody that I work through is English speaking. So it's essentially what we do, we aid and support them, and then they go do the work. So I'm kind of like, I guess you'd probably say I'm more of a manager of people, so to speak. So we aid and support them financially, then we bring teams to them and so forth like that. So I'm not like involved in day-to-day lives of people. And again, there's so many different types of missionaries. There's missionaries that are very active on ground and they're very active like in a community and so forth. Because today I'm actually branching around the globe through the internet. So I'm more of a like a manager of people.
It's interesting that you explain that, because when I look back on your previous career as in like construction industry, you'd be managing teams to build and things like that. Even in real estate, you'd be managing the teams to buy and sell a home or to list a home or whatever it may be. So God's obviously given you those skills, that skill set to use for the expansion of his kingdom. And I think people need to understand that we're all unique and we've all got different gifts and callings and talents and abilities that become part of that bigger puzzle that God wants to use to reach the world.
Sure, absolutely. You know, I just released a blog about your talents and your giftings. And, you know, it's really, it's a matter of embracing what God has gave you as far as in talents. I mean, I can remember years ago, like, you know, being a painter, painting a house on a ladder, and I'm saying, I got to get off this ladder. I don't want to be on this ladder. I don't want to be out here painting. I want to be running my crews and stuff like that. And that's what happened. I mean, I blew up my company to where I had crews all over. So I just think early on, God gave me that, or pulled out of me that gifting of management and logistics and things like that. So that's exactly what I do here on ground. I'll go buy the materials and I'll go tell them that we need to go build this house over here. And I'll be back tomorrow to check on your work. And I'm going to go back to my office and keep on working. So it's just kind of the way I've always kind of done my missions in the last 10 years. And it's done me well, very well. So like I said, now we're looking at expanding around the globe in the sense of how can we minister to ministers and pastors of the gospel around the world? How can we aid and support them? And that's really where my heart's at now.
Let's segue into that about the ministry. Tell me more about the ministry, where people can find the information about what you're doing in your blog and all that kind of stuff. Where would people go to look that up?
Yeah, I mean, it's just really very simple. It's lifeisjesuschrist.com. We have our podcast, blog, and video. The tabs are up on the top. And then if you want to know more about my mission work, you just click missions. And then it's a brief synopsis of Morningstar Missions. That's how our ministry started, was Morningstar Missions. And then if you really want to know in depth, there's a link there for you to actually go to the website of Morningstar Missions. So really everything is just relatively there as far as your information.
So how often do you come back to North America to speak to church groups and others that want to hear what you're doing over there and about this journey of prayerful faith and, you know, obedience?
Once a year, we go back to the States. Now we have grandkids in the States. So my wife does do the grandma run too. So I call that the Gigi run. And so she does a Gigi run and then they get to see Pop Pop once a year. And then I have an actual grandson down here too. So we go back to the States, like I said, myself one time a year.
Okay. So let me ask you one final question. What's the one thing you would tell people about God?
Just one thing that I tell about him is that you don't limit him in the relationship. See, that's my voice. My voice is relationship and finding the plan of purpose. And I think the thing of it is a lot of people stop like right at the threshold of relationship. And I think a lot of times, unfortunately, a lot of people associate their relationship with their father, God, as their earthly father. And I would probably say a lot of relationships with their biological father has not been well. So they always kind of like associate their earthly father experience with the heavenly father, and it limits them and it keeps them and hinders them from moving forward. Now, I was very blessed. I had an amazing earthly father, a father that loved me dearly. He was a very good father. But at the same time, I've recognized that in my walk, seeing that people would always stop at the threshold. So I just say, dive deep in. The Bible says, if you draw near to him, he'll draw near to you. God will draw near to you. He will have a passionate relationship with you. It's available to all people. It's not just available to whomever. God says, well, I'll have one with him, but I'm not going to have a relationship with him. I mean, God desires to have an intimate relationship with us. And then in that, I believe that what happens is as you pursue him, as you desire to fulfill his plan and purpose for your life, then you're going to see yourself start being led. But the key is you have to give up all. You have to give up all total control of your life. Because if you don't, you'll always be walking on the outside and looking in instead of being on the inside and really experiencing the true plan and purpose that God has for your life.
Yeah, amen to that. That's a great way to end the show. So thank you so much for being on the show. It's been an absolute pleasure talking to you. And it's always great to hear about God just interacting on such a personal level and seeing the wondrous things that he does. So God bless you. And thanks again for being here.
Well, thank you so much, Johnny. And it was an honor for me to be on your podcast. So thank you.
If it is your will, I'll say I will. If it's your will, I will say yes. If it is your will, I'll say I will. If it's your will, I will say yes. I will say the Lord says it's my will, then say I will.
I hope that you have enjoyed the last half hour as much as I did. Thank you again to Refuge Ministries Canada for hosting the show. So until next Friday, may God richly bless you with peace, love, and happiness.
We at Refuge Ministries are so blessed by the success of Refuge Freedom Stories and podcasts. In addition, we focus on youth prison ministry, release kits, and many other diverse outreaches to the needs of our community. As a nonprofit, there are many costs involved, however, and we are asking for your support. Financial gifts can be made via our website at www.refugeministriescanada.com or by calling 519-701-0108. Your giving makes this work possible, and we thank you in advance for your support. That's 519-701-0108. God bless you.